Hey everybody, welcome back to Nerds with Friends. My name is Cody Leach and I'm joined as always by Christian Garcia.
What's up?
We are freshly back from San Diego Comic-Con 2019, the 50th anniversary of San Diego Comic-Con. We're a little tired, but I've kind of bounced back by now.
I got the yerba mate thing.
Yerba mate. And we saw a lot of cool stuff. I'm sure some of that stuff is coming out on the internet. We'll delve a little deeper into some of the stuff we saw, some of the stuff that's coming out.
And also, if you haven't listened to our last episode, go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
We got some shit right.
Because we called some shit. that was exciting to be verified there in Hall H. So that was pretty cool. Let's start off as we always do with a little bit of a nerdy confessions. I'll start it off this time. My nerdy confession is this is probably my, I think I figured it out while I was down there, but I think this is like my 9th or 10th Comic-Con in a row.
Nice.
And I gotta say that every year, I've never had a Comic-Con where it's been like, well, that was underwhelming. It's always a fucking great time. It's always, there's stuff that I've never seen before coming out. So always an excellent time, and it's basically my favorite place in the world. It's definitely a fun time. Now, we'll get into it a little bit later. There are definitely things that could be improved.
Yeah, and that's putting it very nicely.
As with everything. But yeah, my nerdy confession is Comic-Con is like my favorite thing to go to every single year. It's just, oh my God.
It's
such a magical place.
For anyone who hasn't gone, you got to go at least once. Now, getting tickets, good luck.
Yeah.
But I would say even for the outside stuff, because the energy spills over to the streets.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely have a great time at Comic-Con without having a badge. It's obviously not as good of a time, but there's plenty of stuff to do for an entire weekend worth of stuff out there. And then I'll say this, too, is, you know, you don't have to shoot for the stars and go to San Diego Comic-Con right off the bat. Check out WonderCon. When it was up here in San Francisco, it was not as big, but equally as fun.
It's equally as fun. That's what I'm looking forward to. Silicon Valley Comic-Con. It's not as big,
check
but
out
it's equally
Silicon
fun.
Silicon Valley Comic-Con. You know, that's coming up here in August. And from what I've heard, it's very good. We're going to try to go out there this year because I've heard nothing but good things.
It's great. It's great. It's just a smaller scale Comic-Con.
Yeah. Just, you know, it's a fun thing to go out to. You're surrounded by like-minded people. And there's just awesome shit from, you know.
And a lot of people think it's not up in scale. Like, dude, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be there. I mean, big, huge fucking movie.
Basically,
star.
The whole cast of Terminator 2 is coming.
Right. I mean, if you want to see if it's a big convention or not, like that should be enough to tell you that fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think, it's a fun time. I mean, and even if you're not into comic books, if you're just into movies, sci-fi, fantasy, whatever. There's a little something for everyone.
Books. There's always books. There's always publishers that are there.
Yeah, exactly. Books. Just regular old books, video games, you know, tabletop RPGs. There's chess stuff there, if you're into chess, I guess.
Is there chess stuff there?
Probably. I'm just assuming.
I mean,
I saw at least one chess set
there. I'm sure it's a safe guess.
Yeah. All right, Christian, what's your nerdy fesh?
So, and I found out. I found this out at Comic-Con by myself. I hate moochers.
Yeah.
And it happened on the last day where those two girls came up to us. You know, it was the last day at Comic-Con. Yeah. And they're cute girls. I don't know. Figure they see a bunch of nerds. They can get some free stuff just by, like, batting their eyelashes or something. But they came and asked if they could have our badges. And I was, like, right away, I was like, no.
Yeah.
No way. He's like, oh, it's the last day. I was like, yeah, no, 50th year. I want to keep this. Like, no. Right. You know, and that was my excuse to them. But reality is like, fuck off. Like, get out of here. Yeah. You didn't put any work. And, you know, my brother, poor, you know, he gave out his badge. And I had like a physical gut reaction. Like, I really wanted to snatch out and take it from their hands. Yeah. I was like, you know what? Not my badge. Not my thing.
Yeah.
Gotta live your own life. And he came to it later. He's like, actually, you know what? Yeah. I gotta take that back. And and he took it from their hands, and you could see, like, you know, they couldn't do anything about it, but you could tell they were really annoyed. It's like, but you can't get annoyed. Like, right. Sorry, you didn't pay for it. You didn't do anything for it.
And it's not even just the money. It's like, it's what you have to go through to get that badge.
For sure.
And then the whole, what you have to go through for every single part of Comic-Con. It's just one of those things, like, and I'll add on to yours, is because I hate, you know, people who mooch off of people too and want something for nothing kind of thing. But the other thing that really irks me is when people are like nonchalant about trying to go to Comic-Con, where it's like, oh yeah, you know, I'll try to go next year. And then the day that badges are supposed to come out, they're like, hey, so how do I get Comic-Con badges? I'm like, well, do you have a member ID? No? Okay, well, you can't get some. Better luck next year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, I say, like, hey, you know, make your member ID so you're on the mailing list. When they announce, like, this is the time to do it, make sure you're on and ready to go. And then every single year I have friends who are like, oh, yeah, you know, I was on, but, or like, I don't have my member ID ready. You know, I didn't set it up in time. I'm like, you had an entire year from last time you asked me about it. Why didn't you do it that day? You know, like, it's one of those things. It's not something that you can just be like, oh, I think I'm going to go to Comic-Con on a whim. It's a process.
Yeah,
you know,
it's definitely
a process. It takes time. Everything is super in advance. It's like, I mean, I haven't been to Coachella, but I imagine it's like what Coachella is nowadays. You have to be, like, ready to go. You have to have your shit planned out. You have to have hotel or RV or whatever set up. It's not just a spur of the moment thing. Silicon Valley Comic Con, sure, you can go down there day of and get tickets. And
still a little troublesome though. I recommend pre-registering.
Right.
And do it before.
Always do it ahead of time if you can. But it's one of those things where if you're not super serious about it, you can totally do it. But San Diego Comic Con's not like that. You can't get a ticket and a hotel, you know, a month ahead of time or 2 months ahead of time. Yeah. Even it's like we're talking like 5 to 6 months ahead of time.
Do hotels you don't even pick? They tell you, oh, guess what? You're staying here.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly. It's all lottery right,
well,
based. You know,
I guess I'm staying here.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. So
also, before I forget, I want to give a shout out to David, my brother. Like a G for Hall H, he was out there the longest. I mean, he got there like 6 in the morning to like 11, did a 5-hour shift, came back, and was there till like, what, 5 in the morning with you guys?
Yeah.
He did the longest shift. So, David, thank you. Love you, man. Like,
yeah,
held it out for us.
David definitely hard rocked it this year. Another one, too, is Victoria, our friend, who's always out there. She's always the first one in line. She was out in that Hall H line at like 4 in the morning.
Yeah, alone.
And they weren't letting anyone line up. So she was just wandering around on the boardwalk until they let them all line up. So and she's always the first in line. So, you know, thank you both, you guys. You always make Comic-Con possible. But yeah, let's get into it. Let's talk a little Comic-Con. I mean, we went down there Wednesday. You drove, I flew.
Yep.
You know, there's benefits to both.
You can lug more driving.
Yeah, you can definitely bring more stuff down there, which
then,
you brought some of our podcast stuff and some of my toys and stuff back, which is great.
Also, like, if you need to hit up, like, Target or something. Or,
right, or Tacos El Gordo, which is one of our favorite hot spots down there. It's cool to have a car, you know, even if it's one person who has it. It cuts down on the amount of lifts you have to take. And makes, you know, supply runs and stuff easy. Even if you just want, like, a 12-pack of beer.
Yeah.
Lugging that back on the bus or, you know, in a lift or whatever is a pain in the ass. So having a car is super clutch.
Yeah. On the flip side, though, you save a shit ton of time.
Yeah.
Going, getting home.
Yeah, our flight was an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. Our drive was pretty fucking long.
Mm-hmm.
It was 8-plus hours with stops and gas and David's tiny bladder of having to pee all the time.
Yeah, it's a fun adventure. You know, I've done both and I like both. It just kind of depends on what you're feeling that, you know, during that that year, you know, how much time you want to spend traveling and this and that. But it's and then once you get down there, it's pretty much you take shuttles or lifts everywhere. You don't really
You're not driving anywhere to or from Comic-Con or like getting to the convention center to the hotel, like, yeah, no.
Exactly. So Wednesday we went to preview night. Preview night is just kind of a you have a couple hours, like 2-3 hours, in the convention hall where you can shop around, check out the exhibits with slightly less people.
Nah, it definitely to me felt like the busiest day, and maybe because people are trying to run around and get over because it's limited. It's 3 hours, you know, yeah. From 6 to 9.
Well, I'd say like because I didn't go. I don't think I went into the convention at all on Friday. And I went in there briefly on Saturday during a break in the Hall H, and Saturday was fucking packed.
Yeah.
Like, it was rough.
I feel like a lot of people get one-day badges, it's Saturday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, too. Saturday and Sunday. Sunday was still pretty busy, though. It was definitely a calmer experience.
It was calmer. It definitely was a better experience, but when people are starting to line up or there's going to be like someone's talking, like there's definitely pockets where it's very, you know, condensed and there's a lot of people in certain areas. And it's hard to get by.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime there's a signing or anything, people just fucking freak out and like cram up. But, you know, when the first time I ever got preview night, I was expecting to go in there and walk around and have a leisurely time.
Oh yeah.
And like
that's
kind of like
that's what
sparse.
I thought this year, because it was the first time I went to preview night.
Yeah, it is definitely not like that. I mean, you know, granted, less people than probably a Friday or Saturday, but at least equal to what Thursday is. You know, there's so many people.
It just feels more intense because people know that it's 3 hours. You know, so people are trying to run around and get by each other. There's definitely a lot less excuse me's and I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. First day, people are all amped up, ready to jump in line for something.
I mean, granted, we didn't even get there late. We got there on time at 6. And I thinking there was only one thing I wanted. Talked about the whole fucking convention. I wanted the Mondo Jaws Tiki mug because it looked really cool.
Yep.
And shout out to Mondo. You guys make awesome stuff.
But also, fuck you, Mondo.
No, it's not their fault. It's not. It's definitely the people going out there. They definitely had enough. They lasted till Saturday, which I was surprised, but...
They have set limits for each day. Basically.
Is that the way?
That's generally how they do it.
So, you know, I walk over and I walk up to the booth and I'm like, oh, it's pretty empty, you know? And I try to buy something. It's like, oh, weren't you in line? I'm like, line. And I look and I just thought it was just a body of people just.
Right.
And there was a huge line and they would not let me get in line. And every day of the convention I tried to get to, lines capped. It's just like that part really sucked. Particularly preview day, walking in as the doors open. Like, how did I miss this? I walked in when the doors opened.
Well, that's the thing. Back when I used to like go exclusive hunting, which I've kind of stopped. I mean, there's been so many frustrations. You know, if you get something that's exclusive, cool. You know, good on you. But I don't plan my trips around it anymore because it's just too difficult. Basically, you have to go in. Go straight for the thing, know exactly where it is, so you're lined up on the right door on the outside, and then get there and just hope that you can get into that line right off the bat, because otherwise you're screwed. And the capped line thing is the most frustrating thing in the world, because there'll be someone there standing with a sign that says line capped, and then you'll be like, okay, well, when are you going to open it up? Like,
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. But you can't stay here.
Yeah. That was the thing they told me, is that you can't hover here. Like, okay, you're telling me you cut off the line. You're telling me the line's going to open up later. You can't tell me when the line's going to open up later, and I'm not allowed to stay around to watch you open the line.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do you want me to do?
So here's what you do. Here's the only thing I've ever found that works. You find another booth somewhere close by, and you just kind of go and hover there and pretend like you're looking at bullshit for as long as you can. And then maybe you go to the one next to it, and you're always keeping an eye on that capped line guy. And once it says it's open, that's when you move over. But you'll see other people do it too.
See, my thing is like I'm one of those, in particular with comics. Yes, I fucking hunt comics, and I even broke my own rule. I'd never buy a first day. I try to buy comics on the last day because people are willing to make more deals. But I even broke my own rule because there was some stuff that I really wanted, so I bought it. But I'm the type of person that's like, well, I want it. I don't need it. You know, I would like to have it, but you know, I'm not going to waste my whole convention time doing this.
Right.
And I feel like the guys who do the exclusive, like, you know, hey man, good for you. You know, you got what you wanted, but you're definitely going to spend like half a day trying to get one exclusive.
Right. And what's crazy to me is so now they've implemented a new process for exclusives for some of the big ones. Hasbro, Funko, those ones were always these instances where people are sleeping overnight, just like Hall H, just to get in and get a hope to get a ticket where they would come back later kind of thing. And so now they've implemented this new process, which is a online lottery, similar to how you get tickets to Comic-Con, how you get hotels to Comic-Con. And while a lot of these exclusive guys will complain about it because it's, you know, it's not a guaranteed thing. You can't just put in the hard work and like sleep over, you know, outside overnight kind of thing and get yourself a ticket. It's more randomized, but at the same time, it's kind of nice for a casual person like me where you sign up for whatever you want. Like I wanted Funko this year. I always liked the little Funko Pops and there's always two or three that are really cool that you want to get. And so I put in on all the days I want, didn't get selected for any of them. So I'm like, well, now I know I don't have to waste any time trying to get into Funko. But what's crazy to me is the people who do get in and get their time slots for Funko or Hasbro or whatever still have to wait in a big ass line. Yep. And it's
ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, it kind of sucks. So
so what I think, because a lot of these guys who are getting in line and buying, they're not even keeping the stuff. They sell it on eBay.
The reseller market is basically what has ruined that whole experience.
And it's like, dude, I'd appreciate, and you know, and I think it should be for the people, you know, I'm going out, I'm lining up because I want it, I want to keep it, I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, cool, you know, that guy should definitely get it. But like, it's a lot of guys who will go buy as much as they're allowed to buy and then they go and sell it on eBay. And you're right, that's what causes a huge fucking line.
Yeah.
There should be a way where like you can't resell the items, like eBay, like whatever, like, you know, seller, like you are not allowed. You buy it, you keep it. I don't know how you can implement that. I don't know how you push that rule, but
there's no way. Like from like, you know, Comic-Con stuff to sneakers to, you know,
because if that happened,
like Pokemon cards,
the lines would drop, I would say, two-thirds, and then it's not crazy, and then you can go and get what you wanted.
Yeah, exactly. But unfortunately, when there's a demand like that, I mean, like the Conan Funko Pop that I got for going to see the Conan O'Brien, which that was a fun experience, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a second. But everyone who went to Conan got this Funko Pop that's limited edition just for that night and just for the people who were there. And I got one where he's dressed as Iron Man. And,
oh, nice. I don't think I saw that one.
I'll show it for you before you leave. People, first of all, when we came out of the theater, people were standing there with wads of cash in their hand trying to buy the Funko Pops off of us. So if you really don't give a shit, hey, you could have made a quick, you know.
What were they offering you?
I don't know, man. One guy had a stack of 20s. It was probably $120, $180. So
I would have done it.
yeah.
I got pictures that I was there.
Then I heard other people offering like 50, 60 bucks kind of thing, you know, which these Funko Pops would go for like $10. Like,
yeah.
You know, that's like the going
like 15
rate.
15, maybe.
15, maybe, sure. Inflation. but yeah, so, But I looked it up online. The one I got is already going for like $200, $225 on eBay right now.
Jeez.
Which is crazy.
So you're going to put it up, right?
No. No. It's something I wanted, and it's the memory now. I don't think I've ever sold a collectible thing on eBay because it's one of those things. If I bought it because I wanted it.
Exactly.
Or I wanted to give it to a friend. Whether they sold it or not, that's on them. You know, so I've never sold anything like that on there because I disagree with that whole thing. Because I like buying shoes and I like these little collectible toys, and it ruins my experience as a buyer when people go turn around and try.
My respect level for you went up, Cody.
Yeah. And like, don't get me wrong, like if I was in a hard place where like I was gonna be homeless or something, fuck yeah, you bet your ass I'm gonna be selling that Conan Pop. I'm going to be selling my Ultra Boost collection. I'm going to be selling my Jordans. Like, I understand that, like, when you need some money. And, yeah, sure, some of the stuff appreciates in value. But
the thing of the time, those don't, though.
Yeah.
Like, that Conan's not going to – that's probably peak of what
peak interest right now is probably
what's going to give it a year, no one's going to care.
Until he, like, dies or something.
Even then, I don't think. Well, I would say maybe, like, 50 years from
now.
Yeah,
exactly. But, you know – you know, to your point, like if there was a way of making it so you couldn't sell it right away, even because a lot of these people are just flipping them as quick as possible. In fact, you'll see the exclusives at the convention on sale at other booths
for
the same weekend for more money.
Yeah.
We actually found one that was for less money. Wasn't that weird?
It was the Pickle Rick one.
The Pickle Rick.
I'm convinced that there was something off.
Something different.
The box looked right.
Or someone was just like dumb.
Someone might have labeled it wrong.
Or maybe that other one was selling it for too much money. Maybe that wasn't like the original.
I don't know.
But it was weird.
I was surprised you didn't buy it.
I should have bought it. I was just so weirded out by it. I'm like, there's something wrong. It's going to be filled with heroin or something. The DEA is going to grab me.
I don't really buy the Funko Pops. I've had people give me some. And, you know, if they're given to me, I keep them. Like, they're cool. But I don't really.
Yeah. It has to be something I really enjoy, you know.
Although I was thinking about the Scoops Ahoy one.
The Scoops Ahoy one looked pretty cool. They had one that was Quinn from Jaws being eaten by Jaws.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was one of the exclusives this year, and that's one of the ones I wanted. And last year, Dead Yamcha was one of the exclusive ones, I really wanted that one.
Like, dude, way to put the character in, like, one of his weakest, worst moments, and people love it for some reason.
Oh, yeah, because it's funny, because, oh, Yamcha's dying? Oh, shit's about to get real. But, yeah, so, you know, the whole exclusives aspect of Comic-Con is always kind of a weird subject, because at one point I love some of the exclusives, you know. It's fun to have something that's only available there and nowhere else kind of thing. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it's so easy to get frustrated and, like, you know, bummed out because, you know, there's people who straight up make a living off of reselling those things as quickly as possible.
I think my top favorite exclusive that I would probably never sell is when WonderCon was still here, mm-hmm. and in the comics, the X-Men were based in San Francisco, and when the Giants won, they did the X-Men in the Giants outfit holding the trophy.
Yeah, I have like three of those.
Yeah, I was like, I would probably never sell that one, because it was like, dude, X-Men, you know, they're awesome. San Francisco, my hometown. Giants, my hometown. The trophy was like, fuck that, I'm never selling that.
Yeah.
I don't care, like, if it drops in value, someone's trying to give me a shit ton of money. He's like, nah, I'm not selling that one.
Yeah, that was a really funny one. And you know, another cool part about that comic book was that inside the comic book, there's a reference to one of the comic stores I used to go to down in San Jose called Hijinks Comics, because one of the artists for that book used to buy his comics at Hijinks.
That's awesome.
And so on one, it's like on a newsstand, you see a Hijinks comic book on the newsstand kind of thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so really fun, you know. And so that's a great one. I have like two or three copies of it.
I can't even look and inside to verify that, because I have mine slabbed.
Oh, yeah.
Sent it to go get a CGC'd.
Yeah. But yeah, let's. So one of the cool things I got to do this time was I got to go to the Conan O'Brien taping, which, you know, it's a huge hassle to try to get in there. And thanks to Antonio and Joanna, two of our Comic-Con buddies, they got their tickets in, and they were kind enough to take me and my buddy Nick. And basically, you sign up online for a lottery, and then if you win that, that's step one. Then we went there at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they got there at 4. We got there at like 5:30, 6. We were sleepy.
It's still pretty good, though.
Still pretty good, right? And you get there in the morning, because the winning the lottery does not guarantee you a seat, because they oversell it to make sure that all the seats are filled. And then it doesn't guarantee you where you're going to sit. So you show up there super early in the morning, wait in line, get your actual seat assignment, and make sure you get a good one. We were there so early, we got in the fourth row, which was awesome.
You know what I thought was funny about that experience is Nick, how paranoid he was that someone was going to make fun of him, like Conan.
Oh, like, he was, like, freaking out.
I don't know. Like, dude, for the most part, Nick is a very chill, relaxed dude. He's, like,
almost too chill.
Yeah, like, nothing really ever phases him. Like, it's super, super nice guy, super polite with everyone.
So here's the story of that.
I figured there's a story. He must have gotten roasted by a comedian or something before.
Yeah, so
I knew there was a story.
Nick and I went to Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco here. And I just unplugged my headphones, and I thought the whole thing went bad, but
we're still good.
Yeah,
you just can't hear yourself.
So we went to Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco for a taping of Doug Benson's
Punchline.
Doug Benson's album. I forget what the album ended up being called. I think
I'm sure it had something to do with weed.
Yeah, it was something fun. And we sat in the front row because we got there early. And there was just two of us. And so, but we were both starving. So we got a little food. We got a little, you know, we got our two drink minimum. And then we got, like, they had an olive plate, which had, yeah, sounds nice, right?
It's potentially with a martini, you know?
Yeah, first of all, it's a quiet snack, so you're not, like, crunching and
very
stuff.
Very respectful.
Right, for the people up in the front. And it's something that, you know, you're not just, like, shoveling nachos into your fucking face while, again, you're standing in front of the comic.
Cody, I love olives. You don't have to sell it to me, man.
Right.
I love olives.
It's going to come in. You're going to see why I'm justifying it so much in a second. So the opening act is Graham Elwood, who's a friend of Doug Benson, also very talented, funny comedian. And we're sitting there, and he's, you know, all of a sudden he looks at us during his set. He's like, "What are you guys eating there?" Like, I'm like, "It's an olive plate." And he's like, "A fucking olive plate at a comedy club? Who orders an olive plate at a comedy?"
I'm like, "This guy."
And I'm like, "I don't know. It sounded good." And like, Nick is dying next to me. He's just like, I don't know. I'm so sorry. And he's just like, and so, you know, he kind of like roasted us for a couple minutes there, started doing something else. And then he somehow, I forget exactly how, but he brought it back later. He's like, "And then those people are the people who buy an olive plate at a comedy club." And so I think that traumatized Nick because he was just like, I don't know. He didn't like being in the spotlight.
Comedians do that, though.
Yeah.
I've gone to shows at the Punchline. I love sitting in the front, and I've gotten like made fun of, and like, in, like, the people I'm with usually get all, like, weirded out. Like, dude, that's his job.
That's part of what they do,
you know? Also, like, he doesn't mean it. Like, his job is to make everyone laugh.
It is a weird thing to order at a comedy club.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's weird, but I also get it. I fucking love olives. So.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, they're delicious. You can have one if you want. But anyway, yeah, so I think that traumatized him. So he was deathly afraid of being picked on by Conan. He's like, "Dude, I don't want to sit on the aisle."
Well, Conan doesn't roast people. Usually he'll point out if someone's wearing something and it's not like mean or anything.
Oh, well, I will say this. So, after we get our seats and then we come back at like 3:30 to actually get in, we get in, we sit down there. And some of the things you don't see on the show, but like if you kind of follow late night and kind of know how the shows work and stuff, there's always a warm-up guy who's a comedian you'll never really see on the show.
There's a warm-up guy?
Yep.
There's a fucking fluffer for the show?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Whoa.
Yeah. And everyone has one. You know, Letterman had one. Leno would have one. And if you watch the show Crashing with Pete Holmes, he was actually like a warm-up guy for like – in that show, I think he was like a warm-up guy for Rachel Ray or something.
I love Pete Holmes. He has his own show now, which is cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, Crashing, the one I just mentioned 2 seconds ago.
No, is that the one his – it's like a talk show. It's called Crashing?
Oh, no. Crashing is about his life as a comedian.
Oh, no. He has a talk show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Other than his podcast?
Yeah.
Weird. Podcasts are basically talk shows. This is our talk show. We don't have a warm-up guy.
We are the warm-up guys.
But yeah, so he comes out, tells a couple jokes, gets people like amped up, clapping and this and that.
I'm sorry if I missed it, but who's Conan's warm-up guy?
I didn't know his name. He wasn't a guy I recognized, but okay. He was funny, you know. And basically, warm-up guy, you know, does crowd work almost exclusively. So that's kind of how they, you know, how they get their, you know, chops in and stuff.
I love how Nick, just to add to your story, but I love how Nick wanted to hide in the audience. He has a beard. He wanted to wear sunglasses and a hoodie. I'm like, yeah, way to go. You want to make yourself look like the fucking Unabomber. Yeah. They're not going to make fun
right.
of you. And he's like, "Oh, shit, you're right." And he starts taking his stuff off.
And so the warm-up guy starts, like, you know, he starts, you know, telling a couple jokes, telling about, you know, what's going to happen with Conan and Andy and whatever. And then he starts pulling people out of the audience. And they're all people who cosplayed and stuff. And Nick, like, sunk down in his chair. I'm like, "Nick, If you don't want to go up there, you just shake your head no and just don't go up there. They can't force you."
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? But man, they pulled a bunch of people up there and did like a dance-off kind of competition kind of thing. And there was like, there's one guy who looked like Dimebag Daryl, who still lived at his mom's house kind of thing. He had long hair, goatee, camo cargo shorts, and like a flannel with a vest over it or something like that. Like, just really, like, you know, he looks like he lived in his mom's, you know, basement or something. And they, he like the guy picked him out and was like, you know, I need these two ladies. These two girls were like going crazy dancing. Like one of them was doing splits and stuff. The other one was like shaking her ass and twerking. It was amazing. He's like, I want these two girls to teach this guy how to dance. I want you to follow everything that these two girls do. And like, so I can only imagine if Nick actually got pulled up there, he would have fucking died.
Just would have ran off stage crying. Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, so that was super fun. It kind of gets the audience like warmed up, ready to laugh and ready to participate. Then the band comes out and the band plays like full songs and they're singing and stuff like that, doing solos and stuff. And you know, that's another thing too, is like, they're obviously playing full songs in between each commercial break too. So they're not just, you know, we always catch it where it's like, they're just, all right, we're back.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, at the end.
But they're playing through the commercial breaks. So that's kind of, it keeps everyone entertained and bubbly and stuff. So we watch Conan and, it's cool. Cause he has like a whole set there. And he talks about Comic-Con and everything and how he comes out every single year. And they did this really cool thing for Peter Mayhew, who we lost earlier this year, Chewbacca from Star Wars. So they brought out, they did a 21 Wookiee salute to Peter Mayhew.
They did the whole 21 shouts?
They brought out 21 Chewbacca or Wookiee cosplayers that they had gone around Comic-Con and picked out. And brought them up on stage. And I mean, there's little kids. There's ones that are 7 feet tall that have like some sort of stilt or riser or something like
that.
Were
they good during the calls?
Well, they played it over the PA system. Okay. But, you know, some of them you could tell were doing it too. So that was really nice. And it was nice thing to see, you know, pay the respects to him. Because, you know, it's hard when you lose someone from Star Wars. And then he does this other bit about how he thinks he knows everything about Comic-Con. And so they decided to do a test. A quiz of Comic-Con knowledge
on Conan.
On Conan. And so they needed some expert to administer the test. So they brought out Mark Hamill.
Yeah, okay. I saw that he was there.
Yeah, and it was amazing. First of all, I left that theater and my ears were ringing from how much people were cheering and clapping and screaming and stuff. Because, like, first of all, we're not the normal studio audience for Conan. We're Comic-Con and Comic-Con goers, and obviously we're ultra fans, you know, and then to have him there was really cool.
Yeah, no, people who go to Comic-Con are a different breed of fans.
Right, exactly. And so they go through this whole little game where, you know, some of the trivia questions are actually real. Some are like funny, like, you know, one of them would be like, how can you tell that this year is Batman's 80th anniversary or 80th birthday? And it's because his utility belt's all the way up to his nipples. You know, or what's Black Widow's real name? Natasha Romanoff. What is Hawkeye's real name? Clint Barton. What is Captain America's real name? Mike United States. So like just stupid shit like that. And then they had the cast of Veronica Mars on, which was cool too. We got to see Kristen Bell and they're bringing that whole show back on.
Yeah,
Hulu.
I saw that they were bringing it back.
And then they do this nice little thing at the end. He's like, you know, I just want to say, you know, thank you guys for coming out. You know, you've been the most like animated and awesome audience that we've had. And when you guys were screaming and shouting for clapping for Mark Hamill, that's the most I've seen anyone ever cheer for anyone ever. So thank you so much. So it was really nice. And then they give us out the pop, you know, the little Funko Pops, and then we kind of go on our way. And it was an awesome time. And it was completely free. There was nothing we had to pay for it. We don't have to pay for the tickets or anything. It's all, obviously it's random chance. And I bought myself a hat, you know, that says Conan Comic-Con kind of thing. So, but yeah, super awesome time. If you ever get the chance when you're down at Comic-Con, check that shit out. Or if you're, you know, I think it's Culver City or wherever Conan actually films.
I do want to see one day Conan show.
Oh,
it
yeah.
Looks like so much fun.
It's super, super fun.
I wish if I go, like, you know, it'd be asking for extra, but to see Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog, would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Was he out there? And I didn't see
him. I didn't see him anywhere, no. And I haven't watched that full episode, but I watched little clips and stuff, and I saw myself on TV. And
oh, nice.
And Nick a couple times. So very, very cool. What else for Comic-Con? We did
Hall H, which everyone already knows what it was, but it's definitely like, whatever videos you guys saw of people's reactions, whatever pictures you may have seen, there's really no words, like, to put in, like, the excitement level of people in there is just, it's insane. And, like, even with, like, not sleeping, being outside mm-hmm. and not getting a good night's sleep, like, just the energy of the fans inside there, it's insane.
Yeah. And, so Hall H, I mean, first of all, it's another one of these things where the process of getting in is ridiculous. We mentioned before our friend Victoria got in line super, super early. And, you basically wait in line to get these wristbands. They hand out the wristbands about 9 o'clock at night. And the wristbands, what they do is they guarantee you entry into the hall the next day at 7:30 in the morning. So as long as you're back by 7:30 in the morning and you're in line, you're guaranteed to go in with the first group of people. Doesn't guarantee you where you're sitting.
Yeah.
So that's why some of us elect to sleep overnight to try to get a good spot. And this year is probably the closest we've ever
been. That was definitely the closest we've ever been. And even with being out there that early, we weren't even like in like the first rows.
We were still like a third of the way back or something.
Yeah. Like and it was like, so like, it was like three sections. Yeah. We were the like ass end of the first third.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was still like, you could still see the actors.
You could see the actors with the naked eye. Like yeah. You didn't have to watch the screens or anything like that. Got some good pictures with my nice camera. So we'll be posting those up on Instagram and stuff. It was fucking awesome. I mean, so the lineup for Saturday, the first one we saw was Star Trek, which honestly, Marvel's awesome too, but the stuff that came out of Star Trek honestly was probably the highlight of Hall H for me. Because first they talked about Star Trek Discovery.
And come on, Sir Patrick Stewart would say.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so first they talked Star Trek Discovery season 3, which is coming back. And it's kind of cool because it's going to take, slight spoilers if you haven't seen season 1 and 2, but something happens where they are going to be in the future about 1,000 years. So it's going to be the furthest Star Trek has ever gone into the future kind of thing, which is really, really cool and interesting, but no one really cares about that. I mean, we knew it was coming, you know, who cares? The real cool thing was that they're doing another animated show.
That one actually looks really good.
Which is called the Lower Decks. And it's actually one of the showrunners of Rick and Morty is producing it. And it's all about life on a starship, on a less famous starship. You're not on the Enterprise. You're not on Voyager.
It's also not the captain. It's like the guys.
They're all ensigns, yeah.
All the guys who are working to make the ship run, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And kind of like some of the fun stuff that goes on with them. And
the guy gave us some of the bits. I'm like, that's really funny. I like that. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
It sounds like it's going to be freaking awesome. I can't wait to see it. Animation style looks similar to
I say similar to Rick and Morty a little bit. In particular, the eye shapes and stuff.
Yeah, it was kind of a mix between like Rick and Morty and like maybe Family Guy or something like that.
Or American Dad.
Yeah, exactly. So super excited for that. But of course, the thing that stole the show was Picard, Star Trek Picard, which is a new show coming out starring Sir Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard. And they showed the trailer for it, which like the guy who running the trailers in the back like jumped the gun a little bit. And showed it before they were ready to introduce it. But we watched it anyway. And I mean, first of all, there's a lot of people coming back from Next Generation and beyond too. So they show basically, it's been released. So check it out on YouTube. I'm pretty sure it's released, right?
I don't know. Actually, to be honest, we saw it twice in there, so I didn't.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't have to research it. I'm pretty sure it's been released. So check it out. But basically, long story short, 7 of 9 from Voyager, Jerry Ryan is coming back, and she's going to help Jean-Luc along with something. Also, Hugh, who was like her Borg, like essentially Borg's son that she made or something like that, is going to be back. The original actor is going to be back. And then Brent Spiner as Data is also going to be back, which is, I'm excited to see how that happens and what leads to that. But they showed him, and he looks like Data from the show.
Yeah, maybe a little bit swollen, but
yeah, but you know, not by that much. Towards the end of the series, he kind of looked like that. But I mean, they did the de-aging technology that they have now is so good.
Yeah,
that
it's getting,
it doesn't
it's
surprise
really
me. Plus, his skin doesn't look natural anyway. It's always looked kind of yellow and
like
stuff.
Like caked on makeup.
Makeup and stuff. So it probably makes it look better than he did on the original show.
You know, I was I love Patrick Stewart, and you know, he's an amazing actor, and you could tell like the projects he takes on, he has to feel something for it. Or he probably won't do it. But like as he was talking about, he was mentioning on the last day of shooting how the line he had to give out, and
talking to Riker.
Yeah, and like,
and the line was like, you know, it's been an honor serving with you, Captain.
And he was telling us how like he couldn't get the line out without crying, and even talking about it to this day,
yeah,
he got a little teary eyed. Man, like you could tell like he really cared about this character in the show.
Oh yeah, and I mean, you know, I forget it was like 7 or 8 seasons, and then like 4 or 5 movies that he did with these people, and it's like that's a long time to spend with a group of people, sure. You know, and he did mention that Jonathan Frakes, or you know, Commander Riker, and Myrna Sirtis, who is Counselor Deanna Troi, they are both coming back, and they're going to have small parts in the series as well. And then I forget, was there someone else that they mentioned coming back?
Not that I can think of, but I do hope there's a cool looking pit bull in the poster.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want that dog to be around for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want the John Wick treatment of
it. Also, they showed a Borg cube at the very end too. So that's, we know the Borg is going to play into this. And basically the gist of the trailer is that there's some girl that's looking for Jean-Luc, and then they have to go somewhere. She's like, I don't know what it is, but I feel really safe with you. And I don't know what her deal is, like who she's going to be.
I feel like it's going to end up being like some kind of his daughter or something.
I think it's going to be like somehow a mixture of him and the Borg queen cloned or love child.
Yeah.
Because there was always that weird like sexuality thing going on with him and the Borg queen. They were like both bald and hot. I don't know. Yeah, it's like, but I think that might have something to do with, because she has like some superhuman like strength and agility and stuff going on. So super excited for Picard. And he also let it slip too that this is the first season. So obviously if it goes well, they're going to do multiple seasons.
They're going to do
multiple seasons. Not just going to be, you never know. You thought maybe it was going to be like a mini series and just one and done. But yeah, so it's exciting to hear that they're thinking about doing more. Then after that, I mean, there was Westworld, which
I left for that.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool because, you know, they're bringing Aaron Paul into the Westworld universe from, Breaking Bad. I will say the moderator for that panel sucked. She, like, inserted herself into too many of the questions. And at one point, she even asked a question. And Jonathan Nolan, who's one of the writers, who's Christopher Nolan's brother.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they love their twists. he was like, "Nah, we discussed this. We're not talking about that." In the middle of the panel, I'm like, "Oh shit!" Like she just went rogue all of a sudden. So yeah, that was kind of lame. But I'm excited for the new season. There's going to be different. There's going to be new parks that people are involved in. A couple of the robots are outside the parks. It looks like it's going to be pretty tight. So I'm excited for that. And then after that, we had an animation.
They were good.
I thought there was a lot of good ones.
I thought that was going to be like really boring or bad, but no, there were some really good ones.
Yeah, it's called the Animation Show of Shows, so you can Google that and check it out.
The narrator gave out his phone number a bunch of times.
Yeah, I don't know. He was super thirsty.
Like, he was
take down my phone number. Call me, please.
Yeah, text me, email me,
dude. How many dicks do you think he got?
Probably a lot.
Probably.
That reminds me, I gotta send him mine.
Yeah, exactly. Send him both of ours. Yeah, so that was kind of weird, but they were cool animated shorts. A couple of them like were making people cry and stuff. So
yeah,
very, very, very cool. Kind of similar to what you see at the beginning of a Pixar movie.
Yeah, the little Pixar shorts.
Yep.
I started following them on Instagram. They seem like really nice, genuine, cool guys. They really had a passion for animation. They really want to support people who are trying to come up in the industry. So that was kind of cool to see.
Yeah. And it's cool that, you know, some of those animated shorts, they just got shown to 7,000 people in that hall. So some of those people never would have looked that up.
No.
So it's kind of cool to see that stuff. Then there's a panel that I called my nap panel, which is when I like to take naps during. It's called Women Who Kick Ass.
Oh, God, Cody.
and it's not that there's never anything interesting in that panel. It's just, it's a lot of stuff that, you know, and for all the women in that hall, it's awesome to hear these cool stories, but a lot of it doesn't apply to me, you know. But it is cool seeing some of my favorite actresses up there.
Yeah, I'm blanking on her name from Glow.
Oh yeah, she. I forget. I don't remember her wrestler name. She's the one who plays opposite Alison Brie.
Yeah, she was hilarious.
She was hilarious.
I had no idea that she was really, really funny.
And she's a little like it makes me sad because they kind of tame her in that show.
Yeah,
she has some much funnier comedy chops. They also had Jerry Ryan from Star Trek, and then they had, I forget what her name is. She has a difficult to pronounce name, but the chick. She's in The Expanse. She plays Avasarla in The Expanse.
She's the leader of Earth, I think.
Right? Yeah, she's like the deputy secretary of Earth or something. And then she's also in 24. She has that deep gravelly voice.
Yeah, like
she's really good.
Way too many cigarettes.
Oh yeah, like packs a day. And who else was there? Was like one other one. Oh, Tessa Thompson and Colby Smulders.
Yeah.
So Maria Hill and Valkyrie from the Marvel Universe. And Colby Smulders has a new show coming out, which actually looked pretty cool too. So interesting to see those guys, and you know, they had some cool stories and stuff, but
they did, like, to me, the worst narrator was theirs. Her voice was very, very like it wasn't even really her voice, but it was more like the way she was asking questions was almost condescending. It had that kind of like tone to it. Like
every question could have had in parentheses after it. Am I right, ladies?
It was just more like, and particularly when they were asking the audience questions, like the way she would have them ask their question. I don't know if she didn't want to be there or something. Like there was just something about it.
It
was
strange.
Really off.
So Comic-Con, as far as moderators go, the best ones I've ever seen were Stephen Colbert and Chris Hardwick. Those two guys like led some of the best panels ever. They always had great questions. They were great at interacting with the crowd and doing crowd work. And it's because they both come from comedy. And I think that's a big part of it. But some of these other ones who are pulled from magazines or, you know, news, you know, outlets and things, just they can't hang with like the live interactions between, you know, nerds and fans and actors and actresses. Then, of course, we have Marvel Studios,
which is what everyone
wants to hear about. I'll say this, the moderator for that was Jessica Chobot.
She's the one you always see when you go to the movie theaters.
She was on like G4 and stuff. No, that's Maria Menounos.
No, she's on there too.
Yeah. It's Jessica Chobot. I think she was on G4 or something like that, or IGN or something.
I don't know what it is about her. I always find her annoying. I don't know what it is.
Well, I think for one thing, her entire moderator role was scripted, start to finish.
For sure.
Which is not exactly what I look for. I mean, obviously have talking points, sure. But like, you know, like put yourself in there a little bit, like ask some questions. But Marvel,
David
Harbour.
Yeah. Like, he called her out on it. Like, he's going to be in the new Black Widow movie.
Yep.
And she asked. Also, it was bad taste, I would say, for that type of question. She had asked him, like, are you excited to be in a Marvel movie to expand your fan base? Now, granted, he just came from Hellboy.
Yeah.
Which didn't
he can use some expansion.
Yeah. So, granted, it was bad taste.
But he was also from Stranger Things, which is doing well.
So, like, you know, so are you excited about expanding your fan base being in the Marvel universe? And he took away his vision from the audience and turned and looked at it. It's like, who writes these stupid questions?
He's am I trying to expand my fan base?
Yeah, he's like, of course I'm excited about doing it. And I turned to look at it, and you could tell she was a little annoyed, but she just kept moving through it.
Exactly. There was no follow-up questions on the script on how to react to that.
Let me refer to my script. Yeah, no, there's nothing here.
So I guess we'll talk. We'll do Disney Plus series first.
So we got...
So the first one coming out. So these are all going to be... they're described as shorter series. So like 6 to 10 episodes. You know, not super long. And they're all going to be available on the new Disney Plus app, which is coming out later this summer or beginning of fall. And they're all complete. They're all completely canon with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So it's not like they're, you know... stuff that happens in them isn't going to have effects in the movies. So the first one coming out is in fall of 2020. is Falcon and the Winter Soldier, featuring Sebastian Stan and Anthony
Mackie.
That's
going to be a good one.
They both came out. Anthony Mackie came out carrying Cap's shield. And then Sebastian Stan's like, hey, let me see that thing. He's like, cool, it feels good.
That one's going to be really good just because in the movies, they're these two guys. Like, in the movies, they're not big fans of each other.
They had instant chemistry also.
Right, and I've seen a lot. They do a lot of interviews, and they do a lot of shows as themselves, the actors. They come out, and you could tell, like, they super get along.
Yeah.
They're, like, they have really good back and forth. They can, like, piggyback off each other's jokes. So I've that one's going to be really good.
Yeah, exactly. I'm super excited. And they had a cool little thing at the end where Baron Zemo from Civil or Winter Soldier. That was Winter Soldier, right?
I always get those two.
He comes out and he's like, I'll be seeing all of you very soon. And then he puts on his purple mask from the comics. So it's cool to see him finally put that on. So he sounds like he might be the main villain for that. After that, in spring 2021, we got WandaVision, which is going to focus on Scarlet Witch and Vision. Which will be interesting because Vision's dead as far as we know. But he's a robot, so I mean, how hard could it really be?
Well, they got the stone back, but I don't know. I don't know if this is going to expand on her powers because Wanda, the Scarlet Witch in the MCU and Scarlet Witch in the comics, like, their power levels are extremely different.
Right.
She's totally nerfed in the movies. Like, she's a lot stronger than they're putting on. So I don't know.
Well, she's even changed since her introduction in the comics. At first, she could change probability was like her first power, which is like, okay, cool, take her to Vegas, but like, what else is she gonna do?
Well, I mean, it's still that, but it's like, change the probability is like,
but now she can straight up change reality to her,
but her probability powers are still the same, so like the odds of you turning into a frog right now is like 1 in a million,
right? But she can make that happen.
She can manipulate that to make it like, yeah, no, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So her powers are still that.
Yeah, they're just expanded, you know. So it'd be very cool to see what that's like. And they had kind of a weird, like, retro 50s vibe.
Yeah, like a 50s like TV vibe.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting. I wonder if it's gonna start off with like, you know, she creates a reality where Vision's still alive.
That's kind of what I'm guessing, but I don't know.
Right. So it might be kind of cool. And they were saying that parts of that are going to lead directly into one of the movies later on, too, the Doctor Strange movie. Then there's in spring of 2021, there's going to be Loki, which basically is going to follow a Loki that we saw in Avengers Endgame walk off with the Tesseract.
Yeah. No, as soon as I saw that in the movie, I'm like, that's a Loki show right
there. Yeah, exactly. So it's going to follow him. And they bring up a good point that this is going to be before all the character development he has in Thor Ragnarok and, you know, the subsequent movies and stuff, where he kind of becomes a better person, so to speak, right? And Thor Dark World, for that matter, Thor 2, where him and Thor kind of make, you know...
In Ragnarok, when
they kind of make amends and, you know, he's still a shitty person, but, like, not that shitty. Then there's going to be Marvel What If, which is kind of an interesting one.
I was
gonna
confused
be animated.
So it's going to be a show or a movie?
It's going to be a show.
Okay, and I remember they said it was animated.
Yeah, it's an animated show. And basically, it's going to be like the What If one-shots of, you know, of Marvel, but they're going to even make some new ones. So, like, a good example would be, which unfortunately it's not Marvel, but like Red Sun for Superman, where Superman landed in Soviet Russia rather than, you know, Smallville, Kansas?
They did
What if Captain America was invented by the Germans?
The Germans. I did manage to catch when they were showing the little videos of possibilities. They did show Carter as a super soldier. So I'm assuming they're going to do that one.
Yeah. What if they had Peggy Carter as Captain America? So that'd be an interesting one. I'm excited to see that one.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it'd be kind of cool. I want to see what the animation style is, or if it changes. It might change. It might be like an Animatrix kind of thing.
I hope they do it like they did for Miles, his movie.
Oh, Into the Spider-Verse?
That'd be really cool.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. Yeah, hopefully. Who knows? And then the last one that they mentioned was the Hawkeye.
One I had zero clue. Like, all these other ones I pretty much thought they were going to do.
Except for What If. What If?
Oh, yeah, right. I had no idea. But that one really caught me by surprise. I didn't think they were going to do that at all.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. And so it's going to be the introduction of, what's her name? Sharon Bishop? Sarah Bishop?
Was that her in that one?
Yeah. The female Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah. His daughter. Yes. I'm assuming.
What?
It's going to be his daughter. He was training her in the movie.
Yeah, but his last name is Barton.
I think they're going to switch it to a different character.
Maybe.
I
mean, well, anyway, so it's going to be training the female Hawkeye, which will be cool. And they said it's going to show some of his time as Ronin, too.
Yeah.
During the
That was the part that got me super excited.
The snap. So super excited. And, of course, you know, all of these ones, the actual actors and actresses are going to be in it, which is really, really cool. And even in the What If animated one, a lot of the people are actually voicing the characters too. So we might see like a Chris Evans as Captain.
That's what he said. We might see a little bit of the Cap, but particularly with Loki, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of Cap and Loki because Captain America at that time was also going around putting stuff back. So there's probably going to be some interaction.
Yeah. Maybe a run in. Now let's talk movies. The thing that everyone's really interested in. First one out is going to be May 1st, 2020. So the next Marvel movie out from now is going to be the Black Widow movie, which looks badass.
I'm really excited because they showed Taskmaster as the villain.
Yeah.
And that's like, dude, like I'm super fucking excited. Dude.
And he's, you know, he's a great villain for her, too, because his whole deal is he can see someone's fighting style once
and then mimic
and
it.
And mimic it instantly.
Yep.
So he's even given like Captain America a run for his money. And in Civil War comics, you know, after the superhero registration, he's actually like enlisted to train some of the new Avengers and stuff like that in hand-to-hand combat. And they show him, you know, duking it out with Scarlett Johansson. He's got the shield. His mask, I wasn't super crazy about because it's not it wasn't really a skull. It was like kind of a
in
silver.
The comics, it looks like
it's
straight
is a up
mask.
A skull.
It's,
yeah,
but he looks like like a straight up skull.
Yeah, which I get it. You need to like modernize it a little bit. But I wanted to see some like teeth and eye sockets in there or something. But he's got the shield,
like in
and,
the comics,
and
they
the cape.
They didn't show the sword, but
they didn't show the sword, but
or the bow.
Maybe he's got it. Yeah. But they showed him fighting with Scarlett Johansson. Then they both like knock each other back and they both land on their backs. And then they both do the like jump up, you know, flip up kind of thing. Exactly the same.
Yeah. And then they just show a clip where she hits him with the neck roll where she rolls around with her legs around his neck and then flips him. And then he did it right back to her, like right after.
Exactly.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And apparently this is going to show us what happens in Budapest that her and Hawkeye are always kind of, referencing.
Yeah.
And then we see her sister too, whether that's a sister from the program or her actual sister.
Well, so. In the comics, it's their abilities are about the same, fighting abilities about the same, and they're each other's equals. But you know where
obviously Black Widow's slightly better.
Well, Black Widow's transitioning to
being a good person.
She stayed as a villain.
Nice. Yeah, so I'm super excited for that one. Hopefully not the last one for ScarJo, but who knows?
Unless there's some timeline changes, multiverse stuff.
It would be weird that this is coming, that it's coming so far after Avengers. Like why they didn't? Maybe it was filming issues, but they should have had this before.
Oh,
if this is going to be the last movie. Next one, November 6, 2020. So same year, just in the fall, The Eternals. Which, first of all, Kumail Nanjiani's in it, which is awesome. And he's kind of bulked up, too.
Dude, he looked... That was the first thing I noticed when he came out. I was like, dude, he bulked up. Because he's always like, you know, like... Yeah, he's not skinny, but he's just kind of like very average.
He's an Indian comedian.
Yes.
So, what you're visioning in your head, that's what he looks like.
But yeah, dude, like his forearms, his
biceps,
his chest,
looked like he was yoking out, man.
And he wasn't even wearing like a muscle shirt or
anything.
He
was wearing a t-shirt.
Regular t-shirt. And like, dude, he bulked up.
Yeah, and so this one's going to be all about these immortal beings who have been living on Earth for like 1,000 years. And
they saw what happened in New York, but they were like, fuck it, I'm not stepping in.
Yeah, exactly. I'm cool. So
Avengers got this.
Exactly. So I don't know a lot about them, but you know, I'm excited to see kind of where that movie leads.
I'm not gonna lie, I haven't read any of the comics, so I'm gonna be studying up on them.
Well, I think the Eternals have to do with like, is it the Celestials?
The Celestials are the big, huge beings, and for the long time in Marvel, there was like one that landed on Earth, and he never did anything. He was just there,
right?
And he was just chilling. I'd never read far enough. But
I forgot to mention in What If it's gonna be narrated by Watu, and who they had
the Watcher.
Yeah, the Watcher. Who did they have?
Ah,
it was some good actor. Anyway, I just forgot I mentioned that. But yeah, so they have to do the Celestials. One of the Celestials, like one of their heads is Nowhere from Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
Yes.
That's one of them for sure. And like maybe a little Galactus action might come into play. So that might be kind of cool. But yeah, it'll be a fun one no matter what, because it'll be very like, it's going to be super out there. And, I know who it was. It was, Jeffrey Wright from Westworld.
Was it? You know, what's funny is
he's Watu.
They have a lot of the characters that's going to be in What If. It's kind of cool. Anyway, yeah. Sorry. I'll look at that later.
But yeah, Eternals should be kind of interesting, but one of the ones I'm super excited to see what they do with is Shang-Chi, Legend of the Ten Rings.
Oh, yeah. In particular, they're going back to mentioning the
Mandarin.
The Mandarin. And they even pointed out, and I totally missed it, that throughout the Marvel movies, they've been showing people with the Ten Rings as tattoos. Yeah. It was very, very subtle.
I didn't know about the one in Ant-Man. That was crazy.
Yeah, no, it was very, very subtle. It was crazy. It was super cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool. You know, obviously, we had a little bait and switch in Iron Man 3 where, what's his name, Ben Kingsley was not the Mandarin.
Which I was bummed at because I love Ben Kingsley. And although he did play the actor like
really
the,
well I thought that was a fun actual twist, like, you know, the minute I got over how bad that movie was, like that part was actually kind of fun.
No, he was amazing.
Yeah, well, of course he is, he's Gandhi.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be kind of cool to see the Legend of Kung Fu, you know, the master of Kung Fu, and how he deals with this like underground organization. So not a lot of superpowers going on, but who knows, you know, we'll see what happens. He does have some chi manipulation, but his main deal is he's really good at kung fu.
And that was the thing, is like when they canceled, like when they announced that, I was like, dude, it would have been really fucking cool if they had left Iron Fist and there was either a fight between them or like a team up, but it's like, to let that go. I hope they bring it back. I mean, they haven't talked about it at all, but
who knows. I mean, hopefully, but I'm not going to hold my breath. But Shang-Chi, the Legend of the Ten Rings, sounds like it's going to be cool. And it seems like it's going to show kind of some of what's been going on in the background in the Marvel Universe too, while this other stuff goes on. Probably one of the ones I'm most excited for, though, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which is May 7th, 2021.
Yeah, that's the one. Well, that and the one they announced all the way at the end. But yeah. The two top favorites, in particular, as they mentioned that the Scarlet Witch is going to be in there,
right? And it's apparently WandaVision is going to have something directly to do with the Multiverse of Madness too.
So I've read rumors,
and it's going to be a horror movie, speak.
They said it, PG-13 horror movie. I mean,
there are some out there. Pretty sure The Conjuring was PG-13.
Was it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean. It's The Conjuring.
First of all, The Conjuring's great.
No.
I don't know why you don't like The Conjuring.
Because it sucked. Anyway, we won't get into it.
The Conjuring's so good.
Really excited. I've read rumors that Nightmare is going to be the main villain. Not too sure. Nightmare is also galactic being, but he's from the dream universe. Sucks off of people's fears while they dream. So it'd be really cool. I mean, we'll see.
I'm excited to see what they do. And you know, I love Doctor Strange in general, so it's cool. I'm excited to see more of that, and like it's nice to see that the multiverse thing that they mentioned in Spider-Man wasn't all like what do they call that, red herring. There actually is going to be a multiverse.
Yeah, and I saw people on Twitter like, oh, so first you say the multiverse is fake and now you're trying to retcon say it's real. I'm like, well, in my opinion, like, no, like, I mean, Mysterio is the master of illusions. What's the best and lying? What's the best way of lying is giving 90% of the truth. You
right,
know?
Exactly. Like, and, you know, even if he said he's from a multiverse and he didn't know there's a multiverse, doesn't mean there's not a multiverse.
Yeah.
That's a lot of multiverses. And then another one that I'm super excited for, maybe the most excited for, is Thor Love and Thunder, which is going to be directed by Taika Waititi.
Which is awesome.
Which is awesome. And it's basically they're bringing back Natalie Portman.
I'll give my 2 cents.
She's going to be female Thor.
Okay, so this is my thing.
Yes,
female Thor, awesome. I'm all about it. But Natalie Portman, like, it doesn't sit well. She totally phoned in
Thor movies,
both Thors. And, like, if you're going to have female Thor, like, dude, you have Tessa Thompson right there. She is the king of New Asgard. Like, she can, she's good enough to be the king, but she can't be right. the new female Thor. And like, she was so badass and amazing as Valkyrie, and like, all her scenes were great.
And she had instant chemistry with everyone exactly. in the movie. You know what I mean? She's such a good actress. I mean, and you know, they had enough chemistry where they made a Men in Black movie for no reason.
And that to me was such a letdown. Like, dude, you could have easily made it her, and I, like, people would have loved it. You know?
Yeah, and I get it. Like, in the comics, it's Jane Foster, and she gets cancer and has to. She gains the power of Thor.
But they switch out things all the time. You can't make exactly. that one switch.
I would be totally down. But, I mean, Tessa Thompson's going to be in it, it seems like, anyway.
But she needs to find her queen. Sure. Who knows? I just feel like they did her nasty. That's my thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, like, I love Natalie Portman, though, too. Like,
she can act when she wants to.
When she wants to, and when it's when it's down her alley. But, like, she just you're
like
right.
Black Swan.
Black
She's
Swan
great.
Was awesome. We talked about The Professional.
Yeah, well, she was a kid, but she killed it. You know?
She killed it then. And then what's the other one? V for Vendetta and stuff.
Yeah, amazing.
She's been great in several different movies. Thor was probably her weakest thing.
Both
other
Thors
than maybe,
were super.
Yeah, other than maybe Star Wars, she was fine in Star Wars.
No, I didn't mind her in Star Wars. She was great in Star Wars.
But so I'm interested to see it though, because Taika Waititi, I think, is the perfect director for those
for sure.
movies. You know, they have it all 80s'd out, like the font and text.
Oh yeah,
they,
I love how
it looks
like He-Man, like it has like the He-Man font and colors. Like, I love it.
It's so great. And they were playing Dio Rainbow in the Dark when it came out and stuff. I'm super excited.
I'm still excited about it. It's just, to me, like, that was my one with,
hinging
like,
all that movie on her is I'm a little hesitant about, you know what I mean? But who knows? It could be great. So hopefully that'll come out.
Yeah, we'll see.
And then one thing that was kind of fun is, in passing, Kevin Feige, who's the head of Marvel, he's like, man, we haven't even talked about Fantastic Four or X-Men coming back to the Marvel Universe. So
he didn't technically say X-Men. He technically said mutants.
Mutants or whatever. Okay. Coming back to the Marvel Universe. So, like, they're basically confirmed that they are thinking about it, at least, and trying to find something, so that'll be fun.
That's what I'm hoping, like, with the multiverse and Doctor Strange, like, even if that's not their full introduction,
mm-hmm.
but, like, it definitely, like, hints it right there.
Right. And then, last but not least, they gave us all these Black Widow hats to everyone in the audience, which was really cool. It was like, oh, but we got one more guy, and it was, what's his name, Marshala Ali.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, it looks like he brought his own hat, and the guy puts on the hat and says Blade on it.
And then
which
they
is
showed,
super exciting.
They showed the titling.
Show the title and stuff. And I'd like to point out, for those of you who listen to this podcast on a week-to-week basis, thank you very much. If you go back to our previous episode, I believe it was Christian who said that his next movie he wanted out from the Marvel Universe would be Blade.
Yeah.
Because
I said that it would be awesome to have vampires back in the Marvel Universe, because they're great villains.
Right. And I believe it was me who said that the guy they should get to play Blade, and I couldn't come up with his name because he has a hard to pronounce name.
Yeah.
But the guy from Luke Cage and Green Book,
yes.
who is Marshall Ali. And because he looks like a young, like, Wesley Snipes, basically, but he's like a way better actor.
Yeah.
And so we totally called it, and that, you know, it came out like the day of Comic-Con.
And that's the only thing that sucked, is like, dude, I feel like no one's gonna believe us because it came out the day of, like, oh, you
well,
just recorded.
So it came out Friday, and we saw this on Saturday.
That's true.
So it came out one day ahead of time, even though we recorded that on the Monday before Comic-Con.
Before that, yeah.
Yeah, so totally called it. You heard it here first. And now I'm making another bold prediction. I think the first introduction of Blade is going to be in the Doctor Strange post-credits scene.
We'll see. Hopefully.
Hopefully, right? I think there has to be some sort of, like, vampire shit going on in there.
I could kind of imagine it, though, if they're doing Ronan and Hawkeye and he's going around, like, just murdering a bunch of people. There could be a possibility.
Maybe,
there,
maybe.
Like, they both, like, you know, he's hunting what he thinks are cartel people or whatever.
Yeah,
and
but they're vampires.
They're vampires,
that'd
yeah.
be fucking dope. But yeah, so super exciting. I mean, Marvel really brought it this year. And what's cool, what I think is cool, is that they didn't just do, like, here's Black Panther 3, here's Captain Marvel 2, here's, you know.
Oh, but they did mention that there's going to be Black Panther.
Yeah, there will be.
They did mention that there's going to be
Captain
another
Marvel.
Yeah, and Guardians.
Yep, and Guardians too. And James Gunn actually was on record saying that the reason why there wasn't any mention of Guardians is because he's still working on Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
too,
he didn't finish. I saw that he put that on Twitter. Yeah.
So it's not just all sequels. There's some cool like original stuff coming out, or at least somewhat original. You know, with the Eternals and Shang-Chi and Blade. You know, so there's some cool new stuff out there that's not just a sequel. And the Doctor Strange one sounds like it's going to be out there enough where it's not going to really be a, you know, direct sequel either. You know what I mean? It'll be something new and fun. So I'm excited to see where the Marvel Universe goes
in
the next, you know, 3 to 4 years kind of thing.
And we didn't get a mention. Well, I guess it's not that surprising they didn't mention who the next big baddie is, but I'm assuming this one might hint at the end of this phase, might hint who the next big, huge villain is, but they're, I mean, even looking at the movies, there's really no idea, really.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of tough because I don't think they're going to mention anything on Black Widow.
No, for sure not.
It doesn't seem
maybe
like.
Maybe Doctor Strange. Thor.
Yeah, Doctor Strange, Thor, the Eternals.
That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, you know, maybe the Eternals is going to introduce like Kang the Conqueror or something like that.
You know, I really, for a long time, I thought for sure that's where they're going. But now with this lineup, maybe not.
Who knows? It's hard to tell. But it'll be interesting. But one thing that's cool is like having Blade come into the Marvel Universe. Now you can have, what's his name, Mobius?
Morpheus.
Morpheus into the Spider-Man universe and stuff. And they've already hinted at that. And then I think isn't Jared Leto playing Morpheus?
But I think it's a Sony one. It's still a Sony one. I don't think it's a Marvel one.
Weird. Well, some fun stuff coming out.
No, Morbius. I think you're right.
Morbius. Yes, one of those two. You guys can correct us on Facebook or Twitter. The last couple minutes left, I'd like to go on a little ranting spree about things that could maybe be improved with the way Comic-Con runs a couple things out there, and I think you'll agree with me.
Yeah, I have a list.
So, obviously, the people who put on Comic-Con have a huge task ahead of them, organizing, what did they say, like 220,000 people or something like that?
For the attendance
For the whole attendance of the con?
I believe it was 100, maybe right, maybe.
Maybe 150,000?
Yeah.
So, basically, It's hard to wrangle that many people. I get it. That's not, you know, they're doing a good job, so to speak.
No, they're not.
The main concern I have is the main gripe that I have is that when the people that they have running things like lines, which are, you know, obviously there's a safety concern there when people are lining up in the wrong place or too many people in one location and fire codes and that sort of thing. You can ask three different people who work for the con and get three different answers
all the time
for everything. Yeah.
And that was going to be my thing is like, they definitely need to organize better, train better. I mean, it's not like Comic-Con falls out of the sky. Surprise. Do the best you can. No, got all fucking year to prepare for this.
Right. And again, we're like, you know, we as attendees have been thinking about this stuff since, you know, November the year before kind of thing, you know, or December, whatever. And, you know, you get the hotels and everything. So everything is like, it's not like Comic-Con shuts down once it's over.
No, it's like, there's a year round shit.
It's a constant thing. But like, so for Hall H especially.
The bathroom situation was so stupid. Were you there when that happened? So like what had happened was, you know, every year it's always been there's a line for stalls. You know, people got to drop deuces, you know.
Right.
It happens. But there's never a line for urinals because you go in, you wash your hands, you're out. You go in, you wash your hands, and there's way more urinals than there are stalls.
Right.
Like, and in the beginning of Hall H, that's how it was. There was one line for urinals. People turned out was quick. The line was manageable. No one was watching it. There was no security watching.
Yeah.
There's some things us attendees can figure out.
Right. We're not idiots.
The second time I went to the bathroom, there was whatever. I don't know if this guy was just a control freak. I don't know if someone pissed him off or whatever. But he had everyone in one line regardless of what they were doing. So the line went from the bathroom, which is on one end of the hall.
It was already long.
And it went to the other end of the hall. Yeah. So it extended that far. There was no one in the urinals. One guy who came out of the stall peeked into the urinals like, guys, there's no one. The urinals are empty. And the guy's like, people are going to come in like one at a time. And I saw a little kid who came up. He's like, I just want to wash my hands. Can I go inside and wash my hands? No, you got to get in line. It's like, dude, that's a child, man.
Yeah,
like,
let him wash his hands.
You're going to make him go in the back of that line. And then finally, like, I guess, I don't know if it was a head security or someone obviously with more authority got contacted, probably from an attendee. And he looked inside. He's like, why are you making people wait for the urinals? Yeah. He's like, that's what I was told to do. He's like, well, I'm telling you not to do that. He's like, well, no, this person told me to do it. He's like, well, I outranked this dude. I'm telling you to do that.
Use common sense at some point.
They were like going at it when I went inside the bathroom. I was like, I think this dude just likes asking people if they're going to shit or piss. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. It's a weird, weird fetish he's got, but I can dig it, I guess.
But it's like, and that was just one example of something so basic and simple.
Or for, you know, like we mentioned before that our friend Rio went to get in line for Hall H super early, like 4 in the morning. And they said, no, you cannot line up. And they're like, okay, but like every year, every single year, this is what's happened, right? And if you're going to change that, you need to make a bigger deal and like post some signs, make some printouts, or mention it on Twitter or whatever.
An email of you have everyone's email.
You have everyone's email. Like, let's, you know, if you're making a big change like this, you have to let us know, because we're people who have been going to this convention for 10 years, 20 years for some people. We know the process better than most of these people who are volunteers or, you know, hired month of kind of thing. And so if you're going to make a change where you're saying, no, you cannot line up here, you can't congregate, or we're going to call the police, like, that's a little ridiculous.
Right.
You know, it's just one of these things. And then eventually they're like, okay, now you can line up, but you have to line up over here. And then they condensed everyone, so there's not enough room for everyone. So we actually had to have like two, we had like a alpha camp and a beta camp.
Well, and that was one of the things like that was cool about Hall H. Like, yeah, it sucks that people get there at 5 in the morning because people are fanatics, but the upside was it was kind of like hanging out with your friends. You put up a tent, everyone could stay together, play board games, card games, you know, you're just hanging out with your friends. So it doesn't feel like you're waiting for something. It just feels like you're hanging out.
Yeah, it's like a camping day kind of
but
thing.
Not this year. It was really shifts is what it felt like.
Right.
Like, it was
shifts. You know, we can only fit like 2 or 3 chairs where the main group was. And then we set up our big, easy up thing further back where everyone else would hang out. So
it was just maybe other people caught wind of it. But like the guys who were to the left of us, they had a fucking – one dude busted out a laptop and had an Excel-like sheet and was like, okay, it's your shift here and blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And all of them didn't even know each other. And I found out through listening to other people that people were making Facebook groups and just taking strangers to, like, wait with each other in line in shifts.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know, that doesn't really seem fair. Like, us, we're a bunch of group of friends and we go together, we hang out, we do our time, quote-unquote. Yep. But it was just ridiculous.
Yeah, and it you know, and just that proves how much, like, we're not just a mob of people. Like, the people who line up at 5 in the morning, we know what the process is. So you don't have to treat us like idiots, first of all. And, like, you can trust us to self-organize a little bit. You know what I mean? And then the whole thing with the wristbands later that night, like, where – not only were they handing out wristbands to this mob of people, which there was nowhere close to a single lane of people, but you had to get every badge scanned too.
After the badge. Yeah.
After the badge. And they're just like,
I'm sorry, after the wristband. Yeah,
after the wristband. So this is a nightmare. And then a new thing this year was they had metal detectors going into the into Hall H, into the chutes and tents where people kind of sleep overnight. There's metal detectors going in, and then there's metal detectors coming in from the regular convention hall too. And so it's kind of a secured area, which I guess is kind of nice.
I get it. It makes sense for people's safeties. That's totally fine. Right. But the people working it were so frustrated of getting people back inside because the lines are so huge. And it's like, if you take the time to thoroughly look through people's things, you're not gonna get these people in time to make it to the show.
Right.
So what would they do? They quarter-assed it.
Right.
Like, let me see in your bag. You just open it, barely look inside. Okay, go ahead. My metal detector went off, and yeah. They were like, "Oh, it's probably your." They're like, "It's probably your, you know, your phone." Or, I mean, it's your watch. And I'm like, "No, it's probably my belt. Like, yeah. I have a metal buckle." And well, they're like, "All right, we'll just go ahead."
Our friend Mark Stranka went in, and they were like, "It beeps on him on the way in." He's like, "No, don't worry, it's probably your belt." He's like, "I'm not wearing a belt." He's like, "Man, it's okay."
Yeah. So it's like, oh, okay. Then don't have them.
Yeah. Then at that point, what are we doing? You know. And then the craziest thing was once you know. So the kind of the way the Hall H line goes briefly is like you wait all day, then you get the wristbands, right? Then most of the people leave, but you have your couple Hard Rock friends, spend the night out there, and so everything gets condensed more towards the front of the line, where everyone spreads out and makes like camp for the night, where you sleep in line overnight, right? So the area where everyone was sleeping, at least where we were, which is in this secure area with metal detectors, if you leave that area, now you, on the way back in, you have to go back through the metal detectors. Doesn't seem like that big of a deal, right? It's like, okay, well, if I'm going to go run to 7-Eleven real quick.
Which Nick did,
our friend Nick did. You don't bring everything, so it's easy to go back in, right? Wrong. So what happens is when you come back in, what they were making people do is first they wouldn't let him up to the metal detectors. They stopped him before that. And so he called me. He's like, "Hey, they're not letting me back in." I was like, "What the fuck?" They're like, "Yeah, they say you have to come out and escort me back in."
That's ridiculous.
So I'm like, okay, well, first of all, I've already taken my shoes off. I was already laying down, trying to get some sleep, And so I go out to where the metal detectors are, where the other staff people are. I'm like, "Hey, they say they won't let my friend over here back in here. He went to 7-Eleven. We're just trying to get him back into our spot." He's like, "Oh, well, he has to come over here." I'm like, "Well, they won't let him." He's like, "Well, he has to come over here." I'm like,
"Do you understand what the problem is? You're not letting me go to him.
Your people not letting will not him come let to him. Me." Yeah. And so I'm like, "Nick, just come over here. Just walk past the guy and come over here." He's like, "Okay." So he walks past him. And then he goes through the metal detector and stuff again. And once he's in, and I'm like, "Oh, cool. So I can just take him back right." They're like, "No, staff member has to escort everyone back to their group." I'm like, "But I'm his group. I'm here. He's here already." He's like, "No, you're going to have to wait." And then the guy went off to do something else real quick. I'm like, "Come on, Nick, let's just go." And we just walk back over. But through the night, I would see the guys coming over, and they had to escort people back, right? If they didn't come up to the metal detectors like I did. They would go up to someone, and maybe it's a group of two, and the one person who's still in line is asleep. They would wake that person up and say, "Hey, do you know this person? Is he part of your group?" And they're like, "Yeah, what? Why are you waking me up?" And then they would say, "Okay, now you're good," and let them.
Just listening to it, I wasn't there for that. Yeah. And just listening to it, it made me frustrated.
Yeah.
Like, it's so stupid.
And like, so the girls behind us who we had met several times.
They were really cool. The whole day. Oh, we should have got their names and stuff.
Yeah, we should have. They were really nice. We did give them stickers. So, if you guys are listening, thank you so much. It was awesome hanging out with you guys. But at one point, it was like that. One girl came back and the other ones were sleeping. And the guy's like going to wake her up. I'm like, "No, she's cool. She's cool." And she's been out here with us all day. And he didn't listen. He just woke the other girl up. I'm like, "Dude, what the fuck are you doing?"
Yeah. Man?
Like, come on.
I really do hope, because David, my brother, is one of them. Like, sometimes if you're disturbing sleep, you're throwing wild punches and stuff. I just hope that someone got, like, mollywopped or something.
Oh, we saw some people, like flinch up like crazy, like being woken up. And then to go to the bathroom, another great thing is you have to go, cross all the stuff, go into the hall. Then you have to go out of the secure area, go in from the outside of the hall into Hall G, go to the bathroom there, then walk back into Hall H on the inside, go through a metal detector again, and then go back out. And it was a fucking nightmare.
This is like the weird thing is, like, I love Comic-Con. Comic-Con is amazing. Thank you, Comic-Con. Yeah. You guys are awesome. I love all the stuff you put on, but really get your shit together with the people who work there. I understand that it's cheap, save on money, you get volunteers, but train them up, like, make sure they know what's going on.
Have more than, like, I don't know, one training session, what I mean?
Or like the security. I'm sure that staff, like, I'm sure like two-thirds of that.
Hey, they were staying up till, all night long too. So I get it if they're having a rough time, but I mean,
you're getting paid. This isn't like, you didn't get forced to do this. Like, right, you're getting paid. Right, like, right. Be a professional.
Yeah. And one thing I think that they would benefit from is have a, you know, have one or two interns do the Hall H line or whatever each year. Just, you know, not even the whole thing. Maybe just, you know, implant them into one, you know, section and have them experience what everyone's going through. Yeah. And then, like, maybe they'll see kind of what.
Like, hey, guys, you know, shit's fucked up.
Yeah. Shit's all fucked up. Yeah, it was really rough. And then the bathroom thing, once he got into the hall, was really rough.
It was, yeah, it was bad.
And then the food thing, the food line.
Oh, and then like
was super long.
The guy was being a complete dick when one of our group members went inside, which you're allowed to. You're allowed to go inside the Hall H, or you're allowed to go into the convention center when Hall H is going on.
Right.
You go outside, you get a ticket. It allowed you an hour to be outside, and then you come back on time. One of our group members did that, following the rules, went, got his ticket. He's like, hey, figured some things I want to buy. You know, I'm not interested in the cartoon panel. I'm going to go do this. And they were trying to give away his seat. Like, they were trying to force us to give his seat away.
They said he's been gone for 25 minutes, which he had not been.
He had not been. It was like 10 minutes, and he had his little pass to go.
Yeah, and they
following
were like,
the rules.
And they were like, if he's not back in 10 minutes, we're giving away the seat. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, why would you even say that?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we have other people who have their tickets, who have reserved seating, who people have taken their seats.
Well, boo fucking who?
I'm like,
do that.
I'm like, well, maybe they should have left a friend here like me who says, no, this guy's in, you know, out in on his bathroom break.
And what do we do? We did have some people in our group who's like, I'm done for the day, taking off. If we had, in particular, me and David, we gave away three seats. Like,
yeah,
our
we screwed
friend,
in. Yeah,
know? Like, they, you know, hey, there was a nice couple. I should have gotten their names too. Very, very nice couple. They were just like, hey, you know, are these seats taken? Like, no, our friends left. Feel free. We scooted in.
Yeah.
They were super happy. They were super happy. They loved us.
Yeah, we had one guy on the end, and he was super stoked. Like, I forget, he came in right before Marvel kind of thing.
Yeah, and then we had, so that was a couple, and then later on we had another person leave. And it was a guy who turned out to be a journalist. He's like, hey, is anyone sitting there? Like, nah, man, go for it. Oh, I appreciate it. And he busts out his little laptop. And, dude, I learned this now. Because I've always wondered, like, when, you know, the Hall H stuff, things get announced, and you see articles right away. Dude, those guys are banging it out
right there.
Yeah. So, you know.
Explain all the spelling errors I see.
No, and, like, I wish I'd gotten his card and his name, because he was also super nice, super grateful. Mm-hmm. I did give him a sticker and a podcast, said he was going to follow us. Who knows? But, you know, respect, man. Like, you're in there. People are fucking screaming and you're typing away. And he has to, right at the end, he had to go out and, like, publish that, you know?
Right. It's crazy, you know? Yeah, it's a crazy experience, start to finish. And, you know, the organization thing is one thing that just strikes me every year that, like, how could something, this was the 50th anniversary. How could we have gone through 50 of these? And it's been capped for capacity for the past, like, I don't know, 8 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So eight sounds about right.
How can we be going this many times and still being so disorganized?
That's insane.
It's super, super frustrating.
I'm okay with if it goes to Vegas. In fact, guys, petition for it to go to
Vegas.
No,
don't do it. I love San Diego.
I love San Diego too. I love San Diego and I love going there. But if there comes a point where you cannot handle it. Like,
well, the thing is, I think if you go to Vegas, you're going to have the same people running the convention because Comic-Con International is a company.
Right.
So you're going to have the same people and maybe you'll hire people from Vegas. Maybe they're slightly smarter. I don't know. But it's still going to have the same organizational.
Well, this is why I would advocate. Like, Vegas has, they just made a huge fucking convention center.
Right.
So it's going to be able to accommodate all the people. It's not going to feel as bunched up as it is in San Diego. Hotels. There's a shit ton of hotels.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully they won't surge the prices like they do in San Diego.
They will.
Well, even then, like, you know, there's tons more rooms. People don't have to double up on rooms. You can have more space.
Yeah.
After hour activities. You can go gamble. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a good run, get a good night. Maybe
we could drive to Mexico in San Diego. That's all the after dark activities you need.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. I love playing blackjack. I love, you know, so, and then I tend to get pretty lucky, you know, so I would have extra money to spend that at the convention center.
My main concern with moving it to Vegas, first of all, would be obviously the heat in Las Vegas. It's way, 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 way hotter.
More ACs.
There are more ACs inside, correct. But, you know, we're not in the convention the whole time. You're not inside a casino at all times, right? in Las Vegas. So the I feel like it would diminish some of the cosplay that we would see. You know,
or
you would,
better.
I mean,
with I bet you a lot of strippers, you know, would probably.
Oh, sure. But, you know, so that would be one thing, you know, and plus you got a bunch of, you know, out of shape nerds, you know what I mean? It's might not be good in all the heat.
It's a dry heat, though.
It's dry heat. The second thing is that, you know, you're right. There is a lot of stuff out there to do in Vegas, but it's like I don't go to Comic-Con to see San Diego. You know, I go to Comic-Con to see Comic-Con, and I feel like with so much stuff like that, there's just, you know, there's too much distraction from it, and I just, I don't know. It doesn't. I like the Gaslamp District. It's in everything's easy and walkable.
Oh, it's awesome. And dude, actually shout out to all the wait staff that helped us
out. Oh yeah.
Everyone was champs.
Everyone offered to split the check, which I've never seen before.
And it was awesome. It was like, yeah, of course. Yeah, there's like 15 of us. Fuck yeah, we want to split. Like,
yeah,
thank you
course.
For asking. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly. We were going to sheepishly ask you at the end or just Venmo the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, but no, everyone, like all, you know, all the servers, everyone was awesome.
Yep. Yeah. So it was an awesome time. Obviously, room for improvement. You know, who knows? Maybe they'll get it next year.
Or, expand the convention center.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the problems with that space that they have there.
They can't expand anymore.
The ocean's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't go in the street. Can't go in the ocean. Hotel to the left. Hotel to the right.
But, you know, honestly, I think one thing that could be that could help is just like, you know, have more stuff going on in the hotels, you know, leverage more of that kind of thing and have it spread out a little bit more might help out a little bit, but who knows. But I'm going to keep going
as much as I can.
Like
we're not going to go.
It's as much as we complain. It was still an awesome time. So hope you guys, if you guys didn't get to go to Comic-Con, try again next year. Hit us up. We're always willing to help you out with strategies on how to get tickets, but don't hit me up the day of tickets coming out because you won't get any. You know, it's not how it works. But if you put in the work and you have some friends who are interested in going too, makes the whole process a lot easier.
And hit us up. We'd love to meet some of you guys out there.
Yeah, and if you happen to meet us at Comic-Con and this is your first time listening, thank you for listening, and you know, tell your friends. Let us know on Facebook at Nerds with Friends on Instagram. And then on Instagram and Twitter, we're at Nerds with Friend with no S at the end of it. You'll see our little logo and picture everywhere. And check us out on nerdswithfriendspodcast.com. That's the easiest way to listen. But we're also on Spotify, Stitcher Premium, Apple Podcasts, Podcoin. Man, there's a lot of ways of listening now.
Tons
of
no
ways.
No excuse, motherfuckers.
Yeah, I know. Like, someone's like, I don't have Apple Podcasts. Well, shut up. You know, you have one of those other things. If not, you know, most of them are free. Stitcher,
we're working on our SoundCloud, you know.
Fuck. Yeah, eventually we'll have to YouTube it. You know, it's...
If anyone wants to volunteer to help us with that, we greatly appreciate it.
I mean, I feel like I know how to do it, but it's just so much extra work. But maybe one day we will, you know, monetize this bitch and get to Comic-Con for free next year.
I've definitely, when I was talking to people about the podcast, that was one of the few things like, oh, are you on YouTube? I've had like, I want to say at least 3 to 4 people asking. I was like,
First of all, if you're listening to podcasts on YouTube, you're doing YouTube wrong. Okay. YouTube is for little cat videos. Okay. It's for video content.
Or fail videos.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we'll make a TikTok. That seems to be the new thing.
Those are little short ones. Yeah. I don't mind doing it.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can do some really funny ones.
Yeah, exactly. But thank you guys for listening. And, you know, I hope you guys get into Comic-Con next year if you haven't. And we'll definitely see you again next year as long as we get tickets.
Let us know if you're going to Silicon. You really should go.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Let us know if you're going to Silicon Valley Comic-Con because we are hopefully planning to be there at least one of the days. Hopefully a couple of them. But, we're excited to see you there. Thank you, Christian, for sticking out with me all weekend long.
It was fun. Lots of fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Time to ice my feet. It's a lot of standing and waiting around there.
Yeah, it's actually been nice getting off, not putting so much weight on my knee.
Yeah.
And the shit still fucking hurts.
Yeah, exactly. It takes its toll on the body. But, again, thank you guys for listening. And to all the nerds out there, remember, you're not alone. You're with friends. This has been Nerds with Friends. Thank you and good night.